This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. New Hampshire Association for the Blind announced today that it's getting a new name. It'll be called Future in Sight. That's three words, Future in Sight. The organization's president and CEO, David Morgan, says the new name better represents how the organization addresses the needs of the community. And he's here to talk more about that. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Peter.
So tell us, what need in the community is your organization addressing that warrants changing the organization's name?
Great question. You know, for 105 years, we've served clients around the state. Up until recently, we never served babies. We served seniors, but not outside their home. And more, we're discovering that there are some 30,000 New Hampshire residents with profound sight loss, and we only served about 1,100 last year. So there's certainly a compelling need out there that's left unfulfilled. And frankly, the word blind in our name inhibited lots of conversations, particularly in doctors' offices between doctors and their patients.
Right. We should mention that you serve far more people than just people who are completely blind.
Absolutely. 93% of the folks we serve in New Hampshire actually have profound sight loss but are not blind.
Mm-hmm. So in the announcement today, you mentioned that demographics was part of the shift that your organization is managing as you grow. And you just mentioned babies. Is that the only demographic you now, forgive the pun, have an eye on?
We serve babies, children K through 12, actually 3 to 21, adults in partnerships with the Department of Education and Vocational Rehabilitation in the state, and seniors. About 73% of the folks we serve are actually individuals above 65 years of age.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is the biggest challenge in addressing the needs of people of various demographics?
There's a number of challenges. I think the one is the difficulty in finding those folks, particularly over 65, that may be living alone at home. And more we find we need to partner with organizations, for instance, like Lions Clubs, doctors' offices, ophthalmologists, educational institutions to help find those kids, babies, adults, and seniors all around the state, particularly in the rural areas, because so often the rural areas are underserved.
Mm-hmm. And assuming you were able to find these people, what kind of services do you provide them with? What do you do for them?
A complete and full range. Most often, anyone that has an interest or a need for our services would make contact through our social workers, and those social workers would actually either go out directly to the patient's homes or, in the case of children, go out to the school systems. But that range includes a rehabilitation therapy, a social worker and counseling support, peer support, training and introduction to assistive technology, particularly in the schools, in partnering with lots of other social service agencies. So it's a full range of services that include teachers of the visually impaired, orientation and mobility.
Helping people move and operate in the real world?
Yes. For instance, if it's a senior in need, we might be in their home helping them learn how to live independently and navigate the space around their home. In many cases, after we provide those services, we actually help them get out in the community and more live and thrive with sight loss through recreational activities, social activities, peer support activities.
Mm-hmm. For those below the age of 65, give us an example of how you may serve someone on the younger side.
Very often, a school will call. They may have a child on an individual education plan, an IEP, and that child will have vision loss. And they may call our social worker and say, can you help us with this school-age kid? They've got a number of disabilities. They may be on the autistic spectrum with vision loss. Or frankly, a parent might call in a panic with a baby, 0 to 3, with profound sight loss and ask how we can help. That's a very typical starting point.
And from there, you would connect them with an ophthalmologist, perhaps, who could provide...
It's not uncommon at all for an ophthalmologist to refer into us and for a teacher of the visually impaired to go help that child understand what their individual needs are. And from there, they may help them and other teachers, for instance, get access to digitally accessible materials to help them in their school. They may provide orientation and mobility training that helps them navigate their world. They may coach them up with what we call expanded core curriculum, which could include assistive technology, socialization skills, a whole range of skills that really help that child live and thrive and learn their surroundings in their school plan.
So bring this back around again to the name change, Future in Sight. How does a new name help you do all that?
It's had an amazing impact already, actually. As we stopped using the word blind, what we did was create new conversations around sight and the use of what's left for residual sights for both school-age kids and adults. So frankly, I'll give you an example in a doctor's office. So often, a doctor is challenged by having to acknowledge the word blind, which says that they can no longer help you, and the person receiving that information is in denial about the word blind, and that they no longer have any hope. And I think this new name is very hopeful and inclusive and, frankly, a proactive approach in going about addressing sight loss needs around the state.
David Morgan is president and CEO of Concord-based Future Insight, the organization formerly known as the New Hampshire Association for the Blind. David, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.